to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Riggs? How you feeling after the big alumni game, tucking in the first goal of the game?
I'm still recovering, dude. Lower back is seized up. Lower lumbar, stiff. I did back-to-backs on Monday.
I know.
I played before the game, which I think the lower back was seizing up then, and then somehow squeezed out the alumni game. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. It was nice to reconnect with all those guys, obviously, and play at the center with a nice crowd. So yeah, man, it was well worth it. Well worth the stiffness.
I think you probably enjoyed taking a sick sauce pass from Brash, Donald Brashear, instead of having to square off. Hey, go toe to toe.
No doubt.
How much better was that?
A little different mindset for sure. Yeah. I talked to him and Brownie about that. As far as like, you know, he's like, "Oh, it must be nice to actually play some hockey out there." I was like, "Yeah, I don't even know what it's like to play hockey with these guys," you know, because every time I was playing, I was looking for Tillies. But amazing start to the game. Get a little saucer from Brash. To put her down with the Toby.
Oh, my God.
Litz comes across, two-pad stack, pad.
He came in to get his skates done, and he says, I said, "Hey, just don't hurt yourself." He goes, "You know I got to throw a two-pad stack in there for the old guys."
Oh, he did.
And he did, but the puck was already in and out of the net by the time he got his old body there. That's what I said to him. I sent him that picture.
Delayed response.
I sent him that picture of you had already shot it. And he's like pad stacking. And he goes, "What a pad stack." I said, "The puck was already coming out of the net." I said, "Yeah, right." I said, "You had sunburn on your back of your head."
Yeah. No doubt. No, it was a lot of fun, man. A higher pace than I anticipated too, with some of these, some of these old timers. Yeah, man, it was up and down pretty good. And then you got, obviously the black team had some legs. I think they had a little more legs than we had as far as loops, uppy, hearty could still buzz around pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, even like Sutter, man, he was buzzing pretty good. Mellenby, it was a great time. Obviously nice to be around the guys and reminisce a little bit, but I'm feeling the aftermath of pushing my body to the limit.
Listen, I don't want to hear it. Go do some yoga, a little CBD. Sunday we have another game. We've dropped about 5 in a row, I feel like. The Blue Devils have swept the series this year, 4-0.
Oh, man.
They have put it to us. We both missed last Sunday, so I can't give you shit for missing. Mine's legit. I got an injury. Yours is, no, I got 2 games tomorrow.
Mine's just daily maintenance.
Maddie Denton played with a bad back. Foxy made it to a later game. He has to get up for work at like 3:30 in the morning. He gets up before you. And you were nowhere to be found.
I got you, man.
You were nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. And neither was I. Man. Neither was I. I can't. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're belly up on your couch. You're belly up.
My quad. I got into some things last night and my leg was acting up on me, man.
Oh, man.
Seizing up on me.
Speaking of last night, I mean, you're supporting Elvie's little mites on ice there.
That was
Flyers game,
man. I gotta say this: if anyone's been in a little locker room with about 14, it was 14 of our kids, ages 6, 7, and 8, you're stuck in there for an hour and a half. Mm. I thought I was having a panic attack. I bet. Well, they're so fired up. They're buzzing around. They told us to stay in the room. I got this one kid. God bless his. He's just 5. He's actually the youngest, 5, Jacob. I love this. He's a goalie and the other goalie. But he kept running out in the hallway, coming around, and this guy would like be chasing him, going, "Hey, you got to stay in the room." I'm like, "Jacob, what are you doing? You got to stay in the room. 2 minutes later, here he comes fighting. Yeah. He's just a little fella. He's just the cutest kid. But anyway, I was losing my mind. We were like, where's the bar? Can we get a drink in here? Because we were like, we were five of us.
Some beverages there down there.
There were five dads. There were five of us, the coaches. And anyway, but it was great, man. They were fired up. LV got on the ice and he was trying to pump the crowd up. And
he
was so excited because Lou Nolan said his name and then Andrea said it. So he was like, he said, did you hear him? They said my name last night. I was like, oh yeah, man. I said, all 20 thou were cheering. There was no way. Everybody went out for beers.
Exactly. Yeah. What an experience for young kids though. Eh? Not sure it's quite the same experience for the parents since there's so much that goes into it for like three to five minutes of actual play. Yeah.
Oh God.
Getting there early and the bags going through the security. And like you said, like sitting in like that holding cell for an hour, hour and a half. It's well worth it to see the kids' faces and the smiles on them. Cause that's like big time for them. Right. Skating on the Wells Fargo ice.
That's what I said to Elvie. I was like, dude, what was that like skating out there? He's like, you're always there. And I'm like, I was never out on the ice performing. I said, it was a lot of people, man. I said, it'll probably be the most people you ever play in front of in your life, man. But he loved it. He thought he had so much fun.
Oh, that's great.
So anyway,
that's awesome. And then the Flyers squeezed out a big win there too.
Oh, that was huge. Carter was unbelievable again last night. They played hard, man. It was both teams. It was a really good game. Carter Hart was unbelievable last night. Again, he's in a groove right now. I love to see it. Markstrom was unbelievable for Calgary, their goaltender.
Yeah.
It was just a good game, back and forth, physical. It was a fun game to watch. It really was. And I'm glad they got the win. I called it too. I really did call it when Kutz is coming down on the 2-1. I'm like, he's shooting off his pads. I didn't know that was going to happen, but I'm like, he's shooting off his pads.
Amazing rebound.
Because if he shoots, if he shoots high there, it goes around the board.
He's missing.
Going the other way.
2-on-1 the other way.
And I said, he's banging it off his pads. I was sitting with a couple people and I was like, he's shooting it off his pads and boom, then, Atkinson buries. And they're like, how did you know that? I'm like, Nasty Knuckles, just genius.
Yeah, right.
You know? Kidding, but I did call it.
It's a smart play, you know. Like you said, like there is some strategy around shooting off the pad, and you know, it's coached. You know, and not every situation are you thinking about shooting off the pad, but like you said, like you miss that shot on a 2-on-1, like it's an odd man rush going the other way every time.
And it was funny. I was watching Proby. Proby was on the ice. He was the
Proby was right up there too.
And he was but you see how careful he was looking, and he kind of like
knows.
He held up at the blue line because if he follows in, then you're in one if he misses. But great game. And you know, I got to see, it was good because I missed the alumni game in person. I got to see a few of the boys last night, Howie and Bill Clement, Scott Mellenby, Johnny LeClaire, Halsey. Dan McGillis, haven't seen Danny in a long time, man. It was really cool to see those guys. Brash. There was a lot of guys there. I didn't make my way around to everyone because, you know, some of the guys I hadn't
seen. Too many.
Yeah, I mean, some of the guys I hadn't seen, I got stuck, you know, not stuck, but just couldn't get away because we were talking. So, great night. Big win.
Hazy on the board.
Yes, that was awesome.
Big goal. I love to see that that reaction too. Yep. I mean, a little love for the bro.
That was awesome, man.
Probably a pretty special moment there for himself. And then congratulating Paul Holmgren and Rick Tocchet on the induction ceremony there and to the Hall of Fame, which is much deserved,
both of them.
Much respect for both of those guys.
For sure.
Obviously earn their stripes in the hardest possible way. Fashion.
You know what's funny, Riggs? I don't know if you knew this. Toxie all-time penalty minute leader, Homer second.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Wow. I couldn't believe I didn't know that. I was kind of shocked when I saw it. I was like, fuck, I should have known that. But
I didn't know that.
Two warriors, man.
Little tidbit of information there. Yeah. Nass, dropping the info.
Oh, yeah. I had to give it to you.
Right on. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess since last week, Flyers are 2-2.
Yeah.
A little rough effort there against Toronto. squeezed out the next one in Carolina, which is was a ballsy effort against a strong team.
A very strong team.
Yeah. And then suspect game there in Dallas, but bounced back and back, you know, in the winning ways here. So 2-2 in the last week.
Yeah, I don't like when I know the league doesn't have a choice, but I just don't think it's right to have to change time zones and play back to back. I know it's only an hour, but you're going from Carolina to Dallas. You know how that is, Riles. You're not going to bed till 3 by the time you get there. No, I mean, it's just, I hate that. I hate that for any team. And it happens to everyone. No excuses.
It happens, yeah.
No excuses. Yep. You know, Jonesy played well, I thought, in that game. That was his first loss with the team, but I certainly couldn't blame him. And Khudobin was sick. He was on his game. It's just one of those games, man. There's never an easy game. But like you said, they went 2-2, two big wins. Calgary's a really good team, obviously. They owed them from a couple weeks ago. And then Carolina's a really big win, especially in Carolina. That's a hell of a hockey team. But they got a tough road coming up here. They got some tough games coming. So,
it's a grind. The season's a grind for sure. There's no easy stretches. You just got to find ways to squeeze out wins and to stay healthy and to just keep grinding.
Yeah, our boy Ryan Ellis.
It's a long season.
Ryan Ellis hurt again, man. I think he can get healthy. Tough loss. Don't like that. But you know what? I love when Seeler steps in, man. Like, he brings a different type of game, obviously. But just a physical guy. He's always in the mix, always in the scrums. And you know, he holds his own out there. So I don't know a lot about Seals, but I like his game. I like the way he plays.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, he's doing something right. Obviously, he keeps getting the nod. When the hole is open for him, so keep seeing him improve, and hopefully Ryan get back on his feet.
Yep,
and healthy here sooner than later. And then I've got some road trips happening here soon. Fans of Philly.
Speaking of grinding it out, we're gonna be grinding Arizona. Look out, Nasty Knuckles fans of Philly are coming for you. I can't wait, man. Heading that way on the 10th. The game is on the 11th of December. Cannot wait. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, man. It's nice to get on the road again in the hockey world and obviously hang out with some awesome Flyer fans.
They had a great trip, fans of Philly, with the Eagles last weekend. They went out to Denver, man. I saw some videos. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, the tailgate and the dance-off there. In the dance-off.
I was going to say, I hope you got your dancing shoes with you because we might have to do a dance-off.
100%.
I think you're going to have to.
Spin the bottle.
Do something. Maybe bring your roller skates.
Spin the J.
I think a lot of the guys and girls might want to do that with you for sure.
Well, we can have some good times and
it's going to be awesome.
A little fun, some giggles. Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be an interesting experience. For us, I mean, I've never done something quite like it. And, I know probably for some of these new, we'll say not new fans, but, fans that are new to the fans of Philly experience.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty cool. So looking forward to that. Check them out at fansofphilly.com. There's I think 5 or 6 other trips that they're putting together. Maybe even some day trips for the East Coast games. So check it out. They do an amazing job there. Well, I think it's time that we jump into episode 49 with our man D-Mac, Darren McCarty. But before we do that, we got to talk about our new bookie. My bookie.
Yes.
From all the biggest games to the smallest events, make every bet worth your while with my bookie, Nast.
Yes, you got to start by doubling your first deposit instantly with my bookie's first deposit bonus. Double your money before you even place a bet, Riggs, and all you have to do is sign up and deposit using my exclusive promo code, Knuckles, at my bookie.
There are tons of great games and prop bets to take advantage of this week, but let me point you in the right direction for your first wager, Nast.
I'll tell you what, you know what my game is hoops. This Saturday, the NBA is jam-packed with exciting games for you to get in on. The Charlotte Hornets are taking on the Atlanta Hawks in what's sure to be a high-score matchup, plus a superstar showdown between Joel Embiid, and Damian Lillard, who I love. He models his game after mine, Riggs. Anyway.
I know he does.
It will be going down when Philadelphia travels to Portland. There's no better starting point for your MyBookie experience, so get in on all the best NBA action this weekend, brother.
So don't wait any longer. Head to MyBookie today to redeem your double deposit bonus so you can get in the game and start winning big today. That's promo code Knuckles to receive double your first deposit instantly in your account. No hassle, no wait, Nass.
Listen, you bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Let's go. Episode 49, D-Mac.
D-Mac.
Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I am Derek Suttlemeyer. And this week we are honored to have the Detroit legend, D-Mac, four-time Stanley Cup champion. Right there it is, Darren McCarty. What's up, D-Mac?
Yeah, buddy, Riles, how you doing? Good to connect with you fellas. And, you know, I mean, it's a little chilly here in Michigan today, but what do you expect in November?
Yeah, that's true, right?
That's true, brother. Well, it's great to reconnect. I appreciate the time. I know we had some technical difficulties yesterday with phase one of this recording, but I appreciate the flexibility of you hopping back.
There's like us, bro. But a bunch of pluggers like us, bro, they can't turn. That's nothing for us. You know what?
Took a minus,
came back, two fights, nobody cares.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, before we get into your hockey stuff and your amazing hockey career, I would like to just start with, you know, what you're up to now. I know you've been able to transform and save and essentially save your life and you found a new path. And I just wanted to start there because I think it's important. It's an important message for all people. But, you know, it's pretty inspiring to see you have been able to turn your life around and get on this path of healing and helping community and grow personally and just and share information and education. So why don't you start there, D-Mac?
Told me you're huge in helping me get on this path and get on. The one thing I always remember is, you know, get educated. Get medicated, so to educate yourself and don't believe the hype. You got to go to yourself, but then it's you. Now you know the secret. It's your responsibility what you do with it. That's what you told me. So my responsibility and being here in Michigan and the fact that I got the truth, and after I was so grateful, then I got mad. Well, we're 5 years later. I just celebrated my 6 year sobriety.
That's awesome,
I have my own brand, that I have my own CBD. That I sent the Darren McCarty brand. I was just showing you that ships all over the world. I have CBN gummies. I got tea. All that path, the flower, everything else has led me to this point of being 6 years with no pills, no alcohol, no nothing other than this plant. And it's the education from the CBDs for your pain relief, for your appetite, to the CBNs for your sleep, and then for all of us that either have some PTSD, have some mental issues or whatever, then you find your way around the plant. Now, the easiest way to describe it, everybody knows about DNA, right? We all watch these cop shows and you figure out, oh, they caught somebody from 50 years ago because there was a fingerprint or there was a, you know, blood smattering DNA. We all have it as human beings. It's all different. Well, your endocannabinoids systems a lot of the same. We all have it, but it's like DNA, it's all different. So it's your responsibility what you put in. You know, knowledge is power. So the more you get educated and the more that the world, the country, everything is getting educated, the transparency and everything, it allows me to have gotten to this point where I have a cannabis brand licensed by Pacana here in the state of Michigan, and I can reach out and answer people's question. I'm not here to argue. In fact, I'm either here to fight or answer your question. And that's with the army I've created around me too, of people compassionate for other people And Riles, every time I get to connect with you, because I remember whether we're talking the A4C, but when I started this journey and wanted to get educated, and you were one of the first guys that were there. And, you know, to me, that's what everybody should understand, because there's a lot of things along the way is that I realized, yeah, I played in the NHL, but you know what? Once it's like anything else in life, right? What have you done for me lately? And then as you move on and picking up the pieces, what's it left to? It's left to the brotherhood. It's left to the guys like ourselves that fought for each other and the education. So I always say, don't tell me what, tell me who. And if I can be in the cannabis world, one of your who's, you have many who's, you're one of my who's. It's then you get educated and then you can fight on life's terms, right? You shouldn't have to suffer. I tell everybody, I've had more, you know, 4 rehabs by the NHL, $1 million put into my head. I learned all the lessons. I live by the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, but my program, which they said you have to work your own program. Well, my program's got a garden, and if yours does too, let me help you stock your garden with the best possible, you know, the best possible cannabis that you need to move on. You're huge, Riles, and the things with the microdosing and all this different stuff, which is huge just to take the edge off. And when you understand why you're doing it and why your body affects it, it's just starting the conversation. So, I mean, I can't stop, won't stop. The easiest way to say is, hey, Google me. You see how I protected everybody that I played with, whether it was with the Red and White with the Wings or in Calgary. So that's embedded in me, and I just took the plant and it's on my chest, and I'll protect that plant even harder because this is life or death for me and a lot of other people's who didn't know. And it's not about using, it's about, do you know you have the option? And yeah, if you got questions, I got answers.
Yeah, no that's doubt. Well, well said, man. I mean, you covered a lot there, and, you know, a couple of things stick out to me, what you said there. You know, one is cannabis is personal, right? Medicine is personal. So you have to figure out the dose, the variety, the delivery system, all that good stuff, right? And it's probably taking you a little bit of time. But, you know, the other thing you mentioned is that you did go through the AA program. And I know, or I don't know exactly the journey of it, but I know a lot of people that do engage in that program struggle with using cannabis because here's they don't the want to go thing. Back.
Stop where we're at, right? Because let's speak. Remember, cannabis is the common sense plant. Okay, right. So if it makes common sense. Now, when AA was formed, which is great, it's like anything like-minded individuals realize that you're not alone, right? They wrote it in the 50s with all the cannabis, you know, it's the devil, it's whatever. I'm not going to get mad at you for the opioid epidemic and everything that you forced me to take and stuff like this when now the education is there that I get to choose how to medicate. So in saying that, and this is the best part too, because I do a lot of work with veterans and a lot of stuff. And over here in the States, it's different than Canada where they don't take care of the veterans and because it's a Schedule I, but the fact that these guys that have been there don't care. You're just looking for the relief. So the education where they can do both, that's where it's at. So I got a hard time with the old school. It's all or nothing because that did not work for me. If I stuck to that, I'd be dead, right? I don't want to die. They put the place. So we're in 2021. The brilliance of the millennials is transparency and everything. We're going to take advantage of this because this plant, you are a plant yourself when you get into it, and it's patience, resilience, like the plant grows and all this stuff. It's just a different way to be able to live your life. And I choose that. And I'm grateful for the people of Michigan, right? Because of making it legal, but also giving me the opportunity to create my brand and to get with like-minded caregivers and people and to be able to spread I compete with myself. I created a product for me that if you may be an alcoholic, insomniac stuff, I would say, what's your system like? There's two things. Don't tell me what, tell me who, which means I don't want to hear what you're smoking. I want to hear that you're smoking Darren McCarty brand Death Star, or you're smoking Riley Cote's, Sour Diesel. I want to know who is from. And then it's also too, is so that you said the dispenser, there's different ways. You never have to smoke it. You don't have to do it. I take a tincture of that is straight CBN. I take a drop of this every night and I sleep like a freaking baby. And coming from an insomniac and wake up with energy and stuff, it's a game changer. Then the little things in life you can handle. And it's just the way of life. So I guess it's to the point that I was at wit's end and I couldn't do it the way it was told. I knew there was another way. And I'm grateful for the caregivers in this state, my caregiver and the three friends that detoxed me on RSO before I died, which was life or death. So if you look at me today, I'm actually in better shape than I was, you know, when I played, but I'm back down to like 210, 212. I was up to 280. You know, blood pressure was 265 over 165. Wow. I should have been dead. Wow. But because of the cannabis in my system and stuff, I wasn't. And then through RSO and Rick Simpson oil and stuff like that, I was able to get the physical addiction away because alcohol will kill you. You can't just stop. And that's the thing. So if anybody knows and go back and whatever and see my journey, all I'm here is to show you, hey, there is a way out. There is. Yeah. There is a way
100%.
Out.
100%. Yep. Couldn't agree with you more. And then just building off that, I think one last question as we move on here. When were you able to discover that cannabis was an exit drug and how did that come about? Because from what I understand, you never really used cannabis during your playing career. So this was, you know, in the moment as a last line of defense, I guess, right? This was.
I didn't smoke when I drink, but I didn't come up. I came across cannabis when I was 27. I had my first four hernia surgery. My dad had passed away. I never smoked when I grew up because he was an athlete or a stoner. And, you know, you could drink as much as you wanted. You could smoke cigarettes. You could do whatever. You'd make it to the NHL that way. But if you smoke weed, I mean, it's just whack to the mentality of taking care. So that fact of that I used it, you know, as being an insomniac and I use it sparingly and stuff like this, drinking was more of the thing, but I smoked a lot, but wasn't educated about it. So the fact that it's the exit strategy, it's not a gateway drug. Absolutely not. Alcohol is the gateway drug. The best part about being an alcoholic and quitting is find out I wasn't a cokehead. You know, they got two things at once, right? Exactly. That's the whole thing. Cause the equalizer, so you can drink more. And then that's my story. Right. That's my story. You mentioned it, that the fact that you have to find your way of distributing it, what the medication is. This is my story. So if somebody can relate to that, then they can look and see, well, wow, there was a way out. But what it really took is the love of people around me that had to love me as much as more than I love myself until the fact that I decided to fight. And then when I fought, there were so many people that were there for support, like yourself, like the A4C, like the people in this community, like Big Canada, like everybody in my circle, right? And then that allowed me to fight because that's the one thing. And then I've said it more since I've, you know, been on my journey and been back here. I had to get away to learn how to be Darren McCarty, the person here. I've known who Darren McCarty, the hockey player, was since I was 6 years old. It took me to 46 to realize who the man was, not only to everybody else, but to himself. This plant has allowed me, and it will allow you too. It's the truth. It allows you to find your truth if you're looking for it.
Yeah, 100%. And it sounds like, you know, you got four Stanley Cups and like you're doing God's work. Like this, the work you're doing right now is like the warrior spirit's probably more ever present now than it was when you were playing. Like you're banging the drum, you're doing selfless work, all that good stuff. So props to you, man.
Yeah. 100%.
King Riles, nasty. Here's the thing, right? That's God. Or my higher power setting me up, right? Whereas the Lemieux thing, the goal, the cups, all that is to put the tools or the shine on what's going on, because this is what I've meant to do. This is my life's journey right here. I'm grateful for everything, and hockey is part of who I am, but it's not the whole, because nowadays to affect people in a positive way like this, and that's where God, he made it. When you make it about Darren McCarr, make it about me, I might as well strap a bomb and I'm like a suicide bomber, right? Oh, get into my, I have no choice now because I have a brand, wherever I put it. And I have a brand, Darren McCarty brand. Go to DarrenMcCarty.com. You can order this where you are in the world. I have a brand of everything else. So it's never going to be about me again. It's always about everybody else. It's brilliant, Riles. And I know you've seen it because it's the whole thing, but it means more to me as far as, you know, like my thing is when somebody comes up to me, and now because the brand's been out for a year and stuff like this, where people come up and have me autograph different things, but we get in a conversation about, you know, somebody will say, oh, I, you know, I didn't really like your watermelon mimosa. And I'm like, oh, really? But did you try some you like? He goes, oh, the Exodus Kush was awesome. And I said, well, then the watermelon mimosa wasn't for you, bro. You're being rude. You know, the Exodus Kush was. You got to find, I will put it out there and I find what I look for. I tell everybody else, what do you like? What do you want me to find? Because I'm as into this as anything else. To me, it's the CBD for the pain. Like, I smoke all day, every day. That's my way. With and then take edibles and take whatever it is that I do. But at the end of the day, if you gave me a choice, CBD and CBN, I'd give away all the THC, right? Because I know I can live that way with sleep, with pain, with appetite, whatever, and I'll figure that out. Now, I'm not taking that away because you need that when you realize that we've been told all our lives that THC is the devil. It's not the devil, bro. It's the doorman. It's the doorman, which I mean, me and Riley are in Philly and we want to go into the club and we walk in with Riley to the bouncer, boom, that's THC. You're right in. You're not waiting in line. CBD is, sorry, bro, you got no connect. Wait in line 20 minutes. You'll get in the club, but it just takes a little longer. And when you understand the mentality. So the big thing that I'm doing with the brand now is by 1-2s and 2-1s and 3-1s and 3-2s where I got the CBD. I got this Miss Elizabeth strain that's 8% THC to 12% CBD. I call it the Iron Man. You'll smoke something that you want at 20%, 30%, whatever it is. You smoke this after, boom, puts the Iron Man suit on, just keeps the feet a little bit off the ground where you're just like not worried about it. That's the whole, like the cannabinoids and think about it. We only know about roughly 8 to 10 of them.
Right.
There's 500 and something. Yeah. I mean, you know this, Riles, cause you're dialed in more into the clinically and stuff like this, but I know it cause I just ramble and you sit there and shake your head but it's the education that I've got through you guys. I'm just the vessel of regurging the information. It's because I know people like yourself and everybody else that have gotten me this and will answer my question, right? So I have questions that I can answer because of the experience, and I have questions that I can't, but I know who to ask. That's the brilliance, right? Yeah. So you facilitating options.
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
True.
I love the analogy of the doorman. I've never heard it described that way, but it's so true, right? I mean,
it's the common sense processing. I tell everybody, listen, they've given us puppies and kittens and stuff. Now we got to train them of why they feel the way they do or what they're looking for, because we've come from such the dishonesty and the lie and you know, it's never about the compassion. That's the one thing in this business. I don't care what you do, but I've put you in two categories. Are you dollar then compassion, or are you compassion first? I'm looking for the compassion people that realize that cannabis, everybody gets a piece of the pie. And your pie is bigger than any Thanksgiving pie your grandma would ever give you as the friggin' favorite grandchild. You're sitting there, oh, I got to finish this, but I can't. Right? That's your piece of the pie. So forget about it. Show the compassion. Bring everybody together. And I mean, I'm just utterly grateful and just to be able to, I don't know, to compete with life on life's terms. Doesn't mean every day is great, but you know what? I also know I can pretty much control where I have to go with my mentality, right? Whether to relax a little bit. I run a little high, so I always got to relax. And sometimes, listen, I'm never high. I'm always fully medicated. And sometimes I might mess with my medication. Sorry. that happens.
Yeah, we find it,
you're not going to die. You're not going to die ever.
Right.
That's
right.
The joke. That's the joke for all you addicts out there, like me and everything else. Everything else will kill you. This won't. It'll make you feel like you want to die, or you won't do it again. But you, like, think about it. And it's usually edible stories you hear about. But you disrespect the plant one time, you won't disrespect it again. It's got that ability to make you feel like it's part of you, as were alcohol. I would, I have the worst hangovers, never going to do it again. Sure as heck, can't control it, but right back there the next night. So there's something to it, bro.
Yeah, 100%. It's a more sustainable coping mechanism, right? We all face stress and we all face adversity, and that's just life in general, right? But you got to have these, you know, sustainable, meaning that you can actually use them long periods of time without running into the dependency or addiction, right? Which obviously alcohol seems to be the drug of choice for most when they want to self-medicate because of being overly stressed or anxious. So it sounds like you have a nice formula to manage the grind.
And that's the important part, right? You got to take care, like all this stuff that I'm creating, all this stuff that I'm doing, I got to be selfish and, you know, what do I need first? Because that's the only way I can help anybody else, right? Like I can help with the education and stuff, but it's really somebody wants to do the work that is the alcoholic. I know what it took me. That's all it is. My experience. Right. It's the same thing as when somebody asks me about hockey, you know, like today's day and age, I got a caveat with, well, you know, this ain't my game. And you probably don't want me teaching your kid much stuff because he'd end up in a belly box the whole time, but it's different. Right. So, but there's still things that you and I watch the game, and it never changes, right? You look for that culture. You look for that as a team play for each other. You know, you can tell, you and I can look at one, and it doesn't matter how old you are, 10-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, NHL, whatever like that, you look and you see that locker room.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the spirit within it.
The spirit within it.
For sure. Well, I know. I know we want to talk. You know, amazing stuff there, D-Mac. You know, it's super powerful. And props to you for basically taking your passion as a hockey player and a fighter into the real world and doing selfless work. It's really meaningful. You know, I wish more people could hear this and take that leap of faith, I guess it would be, to really change your life and grab a hold of it. So. You know, I commend you for everything you're doing.
Riles, we're going to lead. Appreciate it. We're going to lead by example, you and I, right?
Yeah.
It's the one thing along the way is the journey. And you look at, like, there's all sorts of different people that are out there. And here's the one thing, right? I care if no one's going to take care of the guys that did the job that I did, that fought, that put themselves on the line, that have gone through that, then you know what, if I can help and we can band together, because it's not about doing it alone, it's doing it together, and the brotherhood and sisterhood or whatever, realize, and that's just not just to the specific tough guys or enforcers, this goes to everybody can get on the program, right? Because it's about the, and to me, it's that brotherhood and that, you know, all that stuff about, we have that warriors mentality, but we also have that respect for each other, right? It always has been that way, the enforcers in the game. And when that unwritten rule gets off, right, we got to bring it back together. And I think in life, as far as, I'm not worried now about, it is what it is about the NHL or the teams and stuff like this taking care of play. That's more of a responsibility to let people know and guys know that there are guys out there that care and there are answers to reach out. You know, DarrenMcCarty.com, DMAC at DarrenMcCarty.com, DarrenMcCarty4 on Twitter, Eddie, whatever. Reach out to me. I mean, with what do you mean by that? Because we're here to help. And you know from your relationships with a lot of the guys that did our job and stuff. And you see, yep, like, you know, different guys that have pulled through it. So I mean, it's just that, it's that warrior mentality, family, and it's all about the compassion, right? Because that's, yeah, the one thing. It's the compassion that you have for somebody else, me in particular at the time, but we just pass it along. And if we can teach people to have compassion and respect for another human being and allow them, it's all about the option. It's all about, yep, did you know you have the option?
That's it. Well said, brother. Well, I know we want to get into some hockey talk, and you got some big moments in your life, an amazing career. I know Nasty is probably foaming at the lips there, ready to talk hockey.
Well, no, you know I'm interested in all of that.
Oh, of course you are. Yeah.
And it is, like Riley said, D-Mac, it is awesome what you're doing, man.
I appreciate it because, you know, there's different things, but front, this is like talking to the frontline workers, right? Or the frontline, like we're on the front line. And the thing is, we just want to give out the information. And like I said, is just have some place to go to get information. And this, the truth is, this is, you know, this is like a 6-year birthday party for me, or 5 years, whatever, since, because it's acknowledging the destination in life is an oasis, because you're a human being. And we're going to start talking about hockey, and it leads in. I won one cup. I wanted two. I wanted three. I wanted four, whatever, like that. Right. So the destination oasis, the journey. And these are the moments, because you look at, I, you know, thinking about doing this interview and it's all this stuff, but, you know, going to Boston, you know, with the A4C and how different places that we've done, and how Riley early on, especially, get me educated in those different things. So that's we just like to tell people how we did it. It's the same thing. There's, yep, no secret in how we played. You go out there, you know, you got to change the tide. You don't really want to fight the guy next to you, but you know, you have to do it because it's bigger than yourself. So Nasty, now, yep, it's your time.
No, let me see. Let me go back. I've got a few things. Memories. I've got a few things for you, but, I guess I want to start, Rouse and I were talking about this yesterday. First of all, on your show, the lead in to when you talk about D-Day, you had a few different things, but my favorite part is you, this camera, that camera, this camera, we were howling. I'm like, priceless. That is the best. That is the best I've ever seen, man. But
I love it. I'm going to give props to Justin. So my boy, Justin, at Woodward, I thought, man, that was cool. That's the first time I broke that down last year too. I thought it was cool.
It was super cool. And as a, well, it's funny, your first year in the National League, we'll talk about Adirondack, because we have Riley and I always joke about Adirondack. I know you spent 1 year there, but your first year in the NHL was my first year in the NHL. I was actually with Florida for one season before I ended up coming to Philly for the last 25 years. But I can't imagine any hockey fan would not watch the series you guys would always have, the series that you guys would have with Colorado and Detroit. I mean, and obviously getting past that part, but to D-Day, like, your explanation of that and how that all went down was unbelievable. If you want to talk, and I know you may be sick of talking about it, but if you want to talk about it for a minute.
Never. Are you kidding me? I mean, that, you know, I talk about karma and being touched by, you know, higher power and stuff like that. But the way, I mean, and it goes back, right, where you look at the rivalry from the game where we blow Patrick Wild in Montreal, and he comes off the bench and trade me right now. You know,
I didn't know that until I saw your show. I didn't realize you guys were the team that beat him like that.
Here's the thing, right? So sometimes you create your own worst thing, but the rivalry when he got traded to Colorado, and just even playing from, you know, 96, you know, setting the league record and then losing, and then Chris Draper getting hit from behind, and just from 96 to 02, right? And pretty much from when Patrick Waugh got to Colorado till we retired him after game seven in 02. So yeah. I just say he's got to be a little bitter. I got a lot of goals on him, and he doesn't speak too highly to Detroit. We cost him a lot of things. They beat us the one time, but again, it's all about, that was always must-see TV, that rivalry, because when you have, we always knew that in order for us to succeed, we had to go through them. And I'll tell you, if you go back, because we'd lost winning the President's Trophy in 93, lockout year, we go out and get punkered. Colorado beats us. Drapes gets hit from behind, stuff like that. We were the team, right? Too many Europeans, too many this, too many that. They'll never win. They're not tough enough, whatever like this, which all leads to March 26th, which, by the way, we hadn't beaten them the first three games of the season after they beat us out the year before. So there's a rivalry thing about we have to win the game, right? The only way out is through. So, I mean, I break it down. I tell everybody, Chris Draper got hit from behind. That was in May of 96. March 26, 97 is 10 months later.
Yeah.
You got to think about, holy cow, you ever stewed over something, let alone how you're going to get payback for your best friend, let alone your centerman on your team. But yet you got to win the game so you can't cost your team, which, Rouse, you know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
No, you can't take a bad penalty. I mean, that's even worse. You'd rather take a minus, right? That wasn't your fault. You take a bad penalty, you never see the ice again. It had to play itself out. And the way that it played out, you can't write a better script. I don't care if you're Tarantino, Ford Coppola, freaking Scorsese, Spielberg. And I'm a little biased, Nasty, because I was a star. But I'm just saying.
Hell yeah.
But I break it down because now it's coming up on 25 years. But the only thing that was ever said, and I'll tell you guys, was when I got Drapes out of the hospital 2 days after he got his jaw wired shut with his titanium plate in his face. Doctor gave me the wires so he didn't Belushi himself and, puke on his vomit or whatever. That's how bad it was. But I said to him, we got in the car. I said to him, there are two things. I said to him and I asked him a question. I looked at him. I said, don't worry. I'll take care of that. Then I asked him, where do you want to eat? And he had, and screwed that little prick because, I knew where he wanted to eat, Andiamo's, and it takes a guy with his jaw wired shut, a titanium plate in his mouth, 4 hours to eat a plate of freaking gnocchi. I'm not mad. Don't worry. I was out on a boat drinking back then, bro. I was still drinking, so I didn't matter back then, but it's 4 hours. Anybody, if they have a buddy, I'm just telling you. But the whole point, to March 26, 97, what do you remember the play, right? This goes, to me, it goes a bigger representation, 30,000-foot view of life. Who started that?
Larry.
The elder statesman.
Larry.
The elder statesman. All 5'6", 140 pounds, soaking wet. Igor Larionov, the professor. Should have been called Google. You know why? Because back in the day, right, somebody'd say something, and you'd give him an answer, and they'd say, that's not right. Where'd you hear that? And I go, Iggy told me. I go, oh, it must be true. Right? But the worldly guy, the Red Army, right? The one of the first Russians, and that's where, to me, in society, you look for the elder statesman, and sometimes just to tip the apple cart just a little bit. And I remember on the ice, because I was, and Riley can talk to this, because you're looking for that opportunity. You know Lemieux's on the ice and what it is, but you got to pick your opportunity. So when Edie starts slapping Forsberg, I'm like, oh, man, that looks like, how cute, two puppies on Christmas. But then I remembered, Lemieux's on the ice. So right there, boom, I got Shark Week going to him. But then Foot grabs me, and Adam Foot, He's as strong as he is ugly with that big nose, right? But he's got me. Then Shanny comes flying through, chops me. I fade, and I tell everybody, which is true. And this is what it is. So not only does this all happen, but I'm a lefty, right? I'm a lefty. Watch all my I pulled that right hand back, looked him straight in the eyes, and I swear to God, every man, woman, child, player, everybody that hated this man, God put him in my fist, because I never hit anybody so hard or more on the button. And even Claude Mews says he didn't turtle. He said it's the hardest he's ever been hit. And I know people have punched him a few times.
Yeah.
Right. But I got him on the button. Now the whole thing is I hit him and I know I got him, but I'm not satisfied. Right. I don't know what's going on behind me. I don't know I'm this far away from Waugh grabbing me, because I'm trying to put my fist through his skull and rip his heart out through his nose, even though anatomically I know it's not possible, but I'm still trying. I don't know this stuff's going on behind me. All I see, right? You know, when you get frustrated, Riles, and you try to pick a guy up and uppercut him, and then you give him a couple rabbit punches, which is the back of the head, which you probably shouldn't do, but you're mad because he's turtling. And then you look over at the bench and it was like church through the stained glass window. There's a beam of ray right on drapes. When I looked and I went, all right. Now everybody knows I'm a huge wrestling fan. So I put him in the bulldog, grabbed him by the head, and I slammed his face as hard as I could. I had a handful of hair and I slammed his face as hard as I could against those boards. Because that's when I realized, I guess I was a little bit more Jewish, old school Testament Genesis, an eye for an eye. And I thought that was good. You're going to hit my boy from behind in the bed, payback's coming. And to this day, Claude's got a scar on his head from that. Now, the best part of that is it splattered like a paintball on the Comerica Bank sign, which I signed for the president of Comerica Bank, and he hung it over his desk. Everybody was in against him. But so it's true. Wow. I tried to knee him, right? But the next day when I went, I said, no, I was off balance. And Dan Shockey, one of my favorite linesmen who had me at then, backed me up and said he pushed me off balance. I got 4 minutes for roughing and a 10-minute misconduct.
I can't believe that.
For roughing and a 10-minute misconduct, many games today? 40 games?
Oh, you'd have been out.
You're done. You're done for good. Play.
So here's the whole caveat of that, right? So we go in the locker room, and then we're watching this, watching the replay, watching Bernie pump Lemieux, cut him or pump Waugh, cut him open, all this. But the bottom line is we're down 5-3 into the third period. We tie it up, and here's the kicker. Because I'm not saying if to get the revenge wouldn't have made a big thing, but the fact that I scored the overtime goal, so I slayed the dragon, I got the girl. Yeah. But in Wing Wheeled Nation, this is important. Because in Wing Wheeled Nation, Detroit Red Wings, at that moment, and I remember when you see at the end, I jump and Shady's there and Vladdy's there. It was that moment. It was the proverbial, it's going to be all right. I don't know what that means, but it's going to be all right everywhere in Wing Wheeled Nation in the whole universe, right? Well, from that point, enabled us mentally and psychologically have the advantage to beat Colorado in 6 games of the conference finals and go on. I got 4 cups because of that. Now, this is important for all the Red Wing Wheel Nation out there that's watching, listening, and understand, because I had that same feeling I had when I scored that goal March 26, 97, the same day Steve Yzerman was introduced as vice president and general manager a few years ago of this team. I was at the press conference and the same exact feeling hit me. Ooh, it's going to be all right. Don't know what it means. Red Wing Land, wow. I think you could see it's not when, it's when. But it goes back to the guys that are doing it. All my guys, Stevie, Drapes, Cronwall, Nick, Fisher, Cleary, Horka, all these guys, they loved it. This is what they're doing. Their passion is to bring this back, just like my passion is to bring option of this plant. So that whole, it's beyond anything else, because the fact is, guys, we're 25 years later.
Yeah.
It's coming up on 25 years later. And I talk about this. I travel around doing comedy and stuff like this because I know where I was, but it doesn't matter how old you were. That is what Wing Wheeled Nation is all about. And it, you know, the Detroit versus everybody, everything else and stuff like this. But at the end of the day, right? Because at the end of the day, in life and in sports, bad things happen. But you cannot lose respect for a fellow human being. And the fact Claude Lemieux didn't apologize to Chris Draper, said you never would have heard of him. He's not sorry, and he probably just made him millions of dollars.
Wow.
You don't like that.
No.
So
yeah, no.
Karma's right. Real. That night, my name was Karma, and you know what? For whatever reason, Riles, it's just what I tell everybody is don't be afraid, because I wished for that moment for 10 months. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And so this is the time too. I'm trying, because every time we won the cup, I was sober, right? Every time we won the cup. So at the beginning of March, I was driving myself so crazy, trying to be sober, because I didn't have the plant to help me mentally. And I wasn't educated, that I got on my knees. I said, God, just whatever happens, please let me be the messenger. I feel free to use it yourself. You can talk to him yourself, but I'm just saying that's ever surreal, whatever it else, but you cannot, that is what makes sport. And you see the way, so my point is wish for something, but don't be ever go, is this the moment? Is this the moment? You got to be ready for what you wish for. You got to grab it, grab life, grab that moment, right? And own that moment. That's what I did. And
100%.
Yeah. I mean, we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. 25 years later and still got the passion. Right. I mean, it's like to be talk like that. Yo, I know, man. It's amazing. But you're the glue. You're the glue of that team. Like, you look at that leadership group and the core group of guys there, you know, like you were that glue guy, you know, like obviously.
The grind line, right? That's where the grind line. We just got inducted as a Michigan treasure in the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, all four of us, Joey Kosha, Chris Draper, Kirk Mompy, myself. And you're like, there's four of you on the line. Yeah, that's how good we were, but I'd rotate in, out, and be there, but we all had the role. Drapes was the pulse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Drapes was the pulse, but I was the beat, the heart, or whatever, like, whatever it was to the leadership. But that's the whole thing, is find your role. Because guys like us, you have to love your teammates to an nth degree, right? And feel the love back. That's what I always say, on and off the ice. The appreciation and the love I got from all my teammates was always there, no matter if I played in Detroit or Calgary. I always felt appreciated by my teammates. Now, the organization sometimes not so much, but we all go through that as athletes, right?
Yep.
But always, I would live and die for any one of those guys that I played with, because I felt that they'd do that for me. And they proved it more so off the ice and supporting and helping me get to where I am now, you know, in different ways. But when we say there is a brotherhood, and the biggest question I get asked, you guys all talk or whatever. Yeah, we're as close, if not closer nowadays, trying to get this thing right in all our ways. So, I mean, it's a different, but it's that appreciation mentality, right? It's that appreciation. Yep. You are the same way, bud. You're the same way, no matter where it was. It was all about that locker room, and they knew it. And that's, I guess, unless you played that role or could see that, or you get that appreciation from those top guys like you and I did, you know, they come over and give you that tap or that little small words, you know, that's all it is. That fuels my fire. Let's go.
That's awesome.
100%. Yeah. Powerful stuff. Yeah. I know Nasty's curious on your cup clinching goal there in game four against the Flyers.
Again, listen.
We're talking about that.
Listen, fellas, I know this is a sore subject, but I appreciate you, Big J Journalism, on hitting this. And is it going to make you feel better or worse that I tell you I beat one guy one-on-one my whole career? It's all timing. It's like I told you. It's all timing. And you know what? The worst part of it is it happened. I wish it was, even though at the end of that, the goal where I dangle Yanni Nienema and then Hextall, and I'll tell you how how I remember it. But Michel Petit at the end high stick me, and
he did, yeah.
Corner in my eye, and you could see the shiner after the game. But I wish I liked Nienema. He's a metal fan, and I wish it was on Petit instead of Nienema. Yeah. You know, the other way around. Right. But I ain't changing it. But again, here's the thing. What do you put in to get out? Because that move right there came from me going over to Sweden for 2 years. I'm working with a guy named Thomas Storm and skating with 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds in a hockey school. After we lost in 95 and 96 and before every game, the warm-ups before everybody out there says, oh, D-Mac, you went and taught 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. No, I was in the hockey school with the 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. What are you willing to do to get better? At the beginning of any skate, it's pull it in, push it out, pull it in, push it out. It's muscle memory. That's all it was. Because on the play, me, responsible for grind liner, through the middle, I know it's line change. Me, Darren McCarty, wants to dump it in. I go to dump it in. Instead, the big guy goes zap. I fiddle it. Next thing you know, I remember, I go, oh, my God, I got him beat. And then out of the corner of my eye, and I don't know if this has any relevance to it or not, but I played my minor hockey for Leamington, right, which is my hometown. We were red and white. Our rivals, Essex, were black and orange.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Wow.
So the fact that I see this orange thing corner my eye, how many times have I seen an orange thing corner my eye growing up? How many times when your head, does that make that I just, boom, I pull it. Next thing I know, I'm this far away. Do you know why I scored? Please don't miss the net. Put it in there. Double pirouette in the corner, 4-7 by the Russian judges.
Yeah. Well,
that's a different story. The Russians dig D-Mac though. Yeah. But I come out, and Riley, and this is the best part. Who do I focus in on first? It's Steve Eisen, the guy I've been watching since 82. You know, the guy I've been watching, you know, want to be there to help lead. He's looking at me, his eyes are the size of dinner sausages. He's like, what the fuck was that? Me, never lost for words, is like, oh, I don't know. He looks me straight in my eye. And he goes, well, thank God you don't have to do it again. And that explains more to anything about my relationship with Stevie, because I'm his bitch, and everybody's going to be somebody's bitch in this life, and it's just who bitch are you. I'm Steve Eisman, so don't be jealous, right? So, and then I got to end it with this. Well, this will be the most fun I've ever had telling this one. Where does my first Christmas card go to, you ask, every year? Oh, Eric Lindros, the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. Why? Because he scored a goal with like 11 or 13 seconds left to make my goal, the cup-clinching goal, but also to answer the question I get all the time. What's your favorite Joe Louis Arena memory? And mine was final face-off outside our end with like 11 seconds left. Eisenman, Shanahan, Lidstrom, Konstantinov, and McCarty on the ice. Oh, wow. So I was on the ice for the first cup to come back in 42 years from a kid that grew up across the border, give or take 10 minutes for the border. His house was 40 minutes. To be there and to watch that. So I tell my favorite moment is when the buzzer rang and the streamers come down, the fans are going nuts. The guys come off the bench. From blue line to blue line, it was so loud, it was silent. And I'll never forget that.
Wow.
Yeah. So
super awesome.
You're right, too. That was Biggie's one goal in the four games. I think he only had one goal.
Well, trivia question. Who shut down the Legion of Doom in that series?
Well, you guys.
The grind line.
The grind line. That's right. You did.
I don't know if you remember that series, but I almost put Peter Svoboda in the fifth row, first shift in Philly. And then I ended up putting Cough out because game two puck coming around the wall. And I timed it, ran him, whatever, like this. He wouldn't talk to me for like 5 years.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Well, hey,
I told him I'd do it again.
You have to, man.
That's you got it.
D-Mac, you're talking about not having the Mets. What about that last year in Belleville with 127 points?
Last year in Belleville and winning Player of the Year award. Well, Kirk Maltby, fellow grindliner, he had 50 goals that year. D-Mac had 55. Maltz will tell you that. But I won Player of the Year. No, I play with Brent Gretzky. Wayne's little brother. We had a veteran team, but I had Larry Mavity as my coach, and I was either in the box or on the ice. And by the time my last year junior, I was told the secret. Like, if you tell me, like, if I asked you and you tell me what it takes to where I want to get there, I got to figure out if I'm going to commit to it. So when I was told in junior B that if you want to make it to the NHL, you got to do something better than 99.9% of the rest of the guys. And my coach, Brian Drum, who's probably the most influential guy in my career, told me I had to play physical and fight. Okay. So I established first year, fight, right? Work on your skills and practice. That's all it is. It's the same every year. So by the time you play in, and playing as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old against 15, 16, 17, there is a dominance factor that you can play into. And it's a confidence. But I worked my butt off. I power skated, different things like that. So, you know, it was always there. And that's what we always took pride in as the grind line, is that when you know, a couple times when the big guys couldn't get it done, Scotty knew that he could count on us. And we've all scored big goals in our days. So, I mean, it's that, you know, that was a great part. My last year junior was so much fun, you know, which led me into Adirondack. But it's the same thing. Adirondack, I mean, I knew when I wanted to be Robin to Proby's Batman. And I knew when I went there, he didn't have a right hand. So I had 45 majors in the minors. Jeez. And I got 278 pounding minutes with like 110, you know. Wow. But I also had, like, I think I had 17 goals or 19 goals.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you did.
So, I mean, that was Newell Brown, and it just was, I wasn't going to be denied. I think it worked out for me because Detroit lost the first round to Toronto, and then they brought Scotty Bowman in as a new coach. And, you know, so just determination, man. And you tell me what I have to do. I mean, I've gone to more power skating schools than, you know, most kids younger than I am, but that's, because I was told I would do anything. I told Kenny Hall that when he drafted me, my draft meeting, I'll do anything it takes, anything.
Well, you proved that.
Yeah, and you did that, yeah.
Because most people won't. It's priorities. Will you do the hardest thing that you hate over and over again to get you where you want to go? Embrace the suck.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's a pretty strong first year pro there in Adirondack. I mean, like, to come out of juniors. I know you had big numbers in juniors, but 17 goals and almost 300 PIMs is not a light year. But obviously, you were destined for bigger things outside of Adirondack. Sure. I spent 4 years there, so I'm sure you wanted to fight your way out of that place.
I'm at Dangles. That's where my Dangles own my I'd make 1800 every 2 weeks and 800 would go to the bar.
it's still kicking.
Absolutely. But my Adirondack, if you look at the lineup of my team in Adirondack, we had the toughest team in pro hockey that year. Kirk Thomason, by far, called him Gunner, pound for pound, 5'8". 5'9", 180 pounds, toughest guy pound for pound. I saw him and Serge Robert go at it in Utica for like 30 minutes. It felt like 30 minutes. Just throwing and not stopping, right? Serge, like, these Robert, are, wow. Like, we played against, like, the real, like, some real old school tough guys, right? Like, I played against, like, Brian Curran.
And, yeah, the and, Colonel.
And Bruce Shoebottom, the Colonel, and the Shoe, and all these different, like, guys. So it was... You know, the game's changed, but it is what it is. You can only go to the lodge for prime rib so many times, and you can only go, you know, dangle. So I was happy that I only spent 1 year there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Beautiful.
That's funny.
I got to ask you there, D-Mac. I think you win three cups, and then maybe a peer that you may get around the lockout year, 04, 05. You line up in Calgary, but after that, I thought this was really, really, really powerful. Where you we line up signing in the IHL, the end of 2007, Flint, I believe, and then it's almost like you're working from you know, behind again, you know what I mean? Almost like from scratch where you signed there. And I think you signed maybe a PTO with the Griffins and then you're back on top. You want to walk us through that?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Cause I tell everybody, one of the things that my dad always ingrained in me is no what ifs. No, what if I would have did this? What, I hate that. No, what ifs, do it or don't do it, right? Like, don't, you can't. And a lot is not living with regrets, which is positive or negatively. So now it's learning how to temper, you know, what's more important. That deeper than that. But so it was what ifs, and I knew I had something left. I just come out of my fourth rehab. I come back from Calgary. And I sat down with Drapes, who's my best friend. And I just said, dude, I just think I got something left. And I just had to get some clearance through the league and had to, you know, with the recovery and do all different stuff like that. But it worked out that I got to go play in the eye in Flint. I didn't care. I got my love of the game back. Got to play all different places, proved enough that to get a tryout. I was not promised anything. I kept telling Kenny Holland that you haven't won a cup without me in the lineup since 1955. You know that, right? So you got to remember, it was different here because Mike Babcock was the coach and not Scotty Bowman. So, you know, signs along the way. So I play 10 games in the IHL. I don't know my stats. I think I have like 5 goals or 5 assists, but I'm playing. It's fun and stuff like that. Get into a couple little skirmishes. Nothing too bad. I go to Grand Rapids. My first game in Grand Rapids, I get a hat trick. So I'm like, okay. We're on to something here. And I end up playing and proving, you know, my goal was just, I knew that those are my guys in the locker room, right? Coming to the end, the homers, the Knicks, Pavs, Z, Drapes, Maltz, Ozzy was back. These are my guys, right? I knew that. And for me, it really wasn't about cutting into the lineup. It was getting in the locker room, being around practice, being around, you know, one of the big things is Ozzy and I, who we started in Adirondack together, like I'd always warm them up and always, like, goalies are weird, but they like different things because they don't like guys that can't shoot it in their glove or hit them where they want to when they're warming up. So we always had that bond. So when eventually I got signed with like I played three games, ended up proving to get on the playoff roster. And then between injuries, between Franzen and Holmstrom, the first few rounds, but I played 17 out of 22 playoff games, ended up scoring a goal, had a big assist in one of the game 5 in Dallas in the conference finals, and got into 2 games in the finals against Pittsburgh, and was able to be part of to hoist the cup for the fourth time. And that's one of the things I'm most proud of, along with Thomas Holmstrom, Nick Lidstrom, Chris Draper, and Kirk Maltby, is to have won the cup 4 times. So to me, it was just to prove. But Riles, that's the whole thing where my story is, that's supposed to be white horse, come back, do all this. Life's supposed to be great. That's 2009. You know, and I ended up getting injured again. And then I got stuck in my addiction for 5 or 6 years and was grateful enough to be able to use everything, not only the tools, but a lot of the people and stuff like this to find my bearings and fight my way out. So, you know, it all plays together. But to me, there's a lot of different things that I've accomplished in my life. And I realize that it's what priority are you willing to have? And if your number one priority is accomplishing it, and you can surround yourself and with people that can help you along the way that are looking to support you, you can accomplish pretty much anything.
It's impressive, man.
Really impressive. And you've proven that, it seems like, over and over and over again in different dimensions of your life and career.
I was sad. My mom says I'm a drama queen. So, you know, like, it was either the boy that cried wolf or drama queen. And, you know, because they always say I like the comeback. Well, guess what? I'm done with comebacks. This is what you see. This is just acceleration, because I can't handle that. I couldn't live through another one. I'm not even interested in it. And I'm just grateful that I'm grateful I have all those stats of falling down, I'm getting back up, because that's what I tell everybody. No matter what, as long as you get back up, because I laid on the mat that last time till the 9.5 count. Like, that's how it was, life or death. It was either then or not. And if you go into my story, you realize, you know, how bad it was. But to be able to be here today, and it starts with that plan. So my goal, Riley, is I'm going to be the Joe Gibbs of cannabis and wrestling in Michigan. So
I love it.
Don't try to stop me. That's it. You know, because I realize, here's the whole thing, right? And if you ask me, yes, I hope the NHL comes knocking on my door, because I created this at the strength for professional athletes. It's the strongest CBD, I think, out there on the market. But the fact is, I realize I'm such a wrestling fan and stuff like this, with all the guys out there breaking, that I got it all through that. So I hope the NHL comes calling. I'm not going to wait. I'd like to see them get their shit together, and the PA get their shit together, right? I'm part of what's going on without me getting into it. So, you know, like, and that's where I'm at. The NHLPA, the NHL have no bearing on Darren McCarty, his life, right? They've proven that they don't care. But if they come calling and ask me for information on how to help my brethren and all that, I'm always there for the conversation. But the fact is that I was right. I always knew.
Yeah.
My body told me. I always knew. Now that education is there, let's skip the schematics and help the guys out.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, there's so much work to be done there. I mean, I think it's not that they don't know. I think the cat's been out of the bag for quite some time now. I think it's politics.
Oh, right? You know, that's the whole thing. That's not how we operate. So moving and shaking, you'll see. I don't care, right? Because right now I got this in independent wrestling to guys that are grateful that I'm the Darren McCarty brand sponsoring Ruthless Pro Wrestling coming down to maybe on the 27th. And these are some of the deathmatch guys, some all these guys that I get to know. You want to see passion, right? And here's the sick part, right? Okay. Did you know that if the wrestlers, they do crazy stuff and all that stuff in the ring, and they get out and they get a good night's sleep and they feel better and they have stuff for their pain, when they get back in the ring, they're going to do crazier stuff. And who wins? The fan.
The fan.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's right. So true. So true. And outside of the wrestling, I know you got a bunch of other side gigs going on. I mean, I believe you're still in a rock band, punk band. I know Nasty's a rock star, so he appreciates that.
Grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're Grinder back in 97. So it was on hiatus. We were supposed to get back out last year. We'll be out sometime soon. You got to remember, I'm the youngest in the band. So those old guys got to take care of themselves when they're ready. But between comedy, I do stand up throughout the state and stuff like that. I'm Woodward Sports Network, 11 to 1 every day. Got my WJR show Friday night. So I'm keeping busy. I do the end game at the hockey game sometimes. So
nice.
Always something going on. DarrenMcCarty.com is the best way to check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out, people, please.
For sure.
Riles, I got to get you one of these, bro.
Oh, yeah. Nice grinder.
And And you know what? Because this grinder is one of the best, like, giveaway grinders that I've had. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't stick, doesn't get plied up, doesn't, you know, does its job.
Yeah.
Little accessory stuff. I appreciate those accessories.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love to have one of those. And I did want to mention your appearance on Hardcore Pond. I believe you're selling some alligator hides back in the day. What were you up to?
Dude, and when people ask me, is that so? The story with there, and I worked there for about 8 months or whatever, learning the business. I know that business every way, side and out. And the reason is because the gold, Seth and Les and them, they were neighbors of mine when I played. So it was always asking, always interested. So, you know, that was back during to try it out, but I learned so much about it, man. My buddy Hawk pawned off the gator hide or whatever like this, but yeah, it's helped me in all assets of negotiating and stuff like this, where you realize stuff like that. So I owe lessons south a lot. I learned a lot. I mean, it's awesome. I'll still, when I go visit, if they're busy, I'll still go in the back and pull stuff for people and stuff like that. It's cool. And again, it's all about the people.
100%. Yeah, I'm sure you learned a lot about business. Yeah, you said negotiation, just understanding value of things or the non-value of things. But I thought that was interesting because I felt like you got to kind of get hand dipped in a little bit of everything, but all for like the greater good of your mission, right? I mean, you're learning, you're growing, you're transforming, you're able to take this and help people change and transform as well. So
the thing, I'm always transforming. I'm always learning. I'm always trying to be a better person every day. Sometimes you accomplish it, sometimes you don't. And but it's the self-awareness. And to anybody out there that's struggling, here's the bottom line key for me. The person in the mirror, which is you, person, you can lie to everybody else, but you have to have a relationship with that person in the mirror, right? It got to the point for me that I was so ashamed of that person that I walked by and I said, I stopped and I looked and I said, I'm not dealing with you right now. And they looked back at me and said, well, hope you're alive when you come back, like stuff like that. And it got me interested to really find. So if you can be honest to that person, and it's honest to might not be your time or you don't want to do it, but as long as you're honest with that person, you have somewhere to start, and there you are not alone. That's the biggest thing. If you think it, there's somebody else that has thought it, you know, out there or has that sort of mindset, right? To realize. So remember, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. When you can remember that, it's all about taking it out of the now, like the boom right here. If you can just hold on, and that's the patience, resilient, the plant teaches you, this too shall pass. So it's all about getting every day, trying to learn and trying to be better. And it's all about people. I invest in people, and I love people and people in Michigan and everywhere. I'm a battery. They're my power. And I just continue to get out. That's why I love people. I love trying to help people be better version of themselves as I'm trying to be every day.
That's awesome.
Well said, man. Very, I mean, well said. Geez, yeah. You talk about wisdom there. Super powerful, man. I really appreciate everything. I think we'll, you know, wrap it up on that note. I mean, it's such an amazing message and so empowering, you know, to hear, you know, just to look at you and, you know, the way you've transformed. Again, you got the street credit, you know, on and off the ice, and you're living it, you're embodying it right now in the moment. And again, for the greater good of mankind, really. This is not about hockey players. It's not about enforcers. This is about everybody. And, you know, being able to pass on the knowledge, plant some seeds, no pun intended. And hopefully people, you know, recognize the power of these alternative medicines.
Put them on their journey. Right. And I firmly believe that if I say the statement that I believe this plant could save this world, not only environmentally, but socially, economically, everything else, then I got to lead the way. I don't talk about it. I live it. That's what gives me, like you said, Riley, the biggest thing is that if I say it, I'm going to do it twice because that's who I am.
Yep. 100%, man. Well, we appreciate you, D-Mac.
Yeah, man.
And everything you're doing. Well,
awesome. I appreciate you, fellas. Thanks for letting me. That was really fun to be able to talk to a couple of Philly guys about ruining their hopes and dreams and stuff like this. So,
hey, man.
I mean, it felt a little better to do it to Nasty, Rob. I mean, I don't like to do that. You're just a casualty, what I mean, by association. But Nasty, that felt really good, bro. Sorry again.
Hey, now listen, man. That goal – you see it every year. It's always going to be around, man. It was a huge moment. And it was awesome. And it was you, man. It was all you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank goodness. Sweden.
Sweden. That's
it. Yeah, right? 8 9-year-olds.
You had Swedish and you had the Finnish too.
Listen, I'll give you this as a caveat before we go. You know who one of the 11-year-olds in my class back then was? Christian Eusalius, who I played with in Calgary. We called him Juice. Scored 30 goals in that 06 or 05, 06 season. But he was one of the kids dangling my ass when he was 11 over there. That's how it comes full circle. So shout out to the Juice.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. We can't thank you enough, D-Mac. This was absolutely awesome, man. Thank
you so
much, brother. Riggs.
Oh.
Oh, listen. Are you interested in learning new languages?
I am. Probably could refine my English language a little bit.
I think you need to go back to the French. But after speaking with Radko Gudas and Pierre Belmar and knowing all the languages they speak, I think it's exciting that we're partnering with Babbel. Babbel is the best online source for interactive language courses that anyone can use to learn languages in an effective and entertaining way. I love to be entertaining, so this is huge for me. Their mission, Riggs, is to get you speaking a new language with confidence as soon as possible.
Ooh, that is very enticing. Learning through conversation, no random words or phrases. Babbel teaches you language skills for real life scenarios, just like Nasty Knuckles. Each lesson features a dialogue to help you apply what you've learned.
That's right. Comprehensive language courses. Babbel exercises help you strengthen all four elements of language learning, reading, writing, listening, and speaking.
Ooh, I need help in all those categories.
I do too.
Long-term retention. Babbel reintroduces words through 6 memory stages using the technique of spaced repetition. The review feature helps you lock in what you're learning when you're at risk of forgetting it most.
Ooh, I forget a lot. I forget a lot.
You do. You do.
Listen, it's designed with you in mind, Rex. Every learner is different. Every learner is different. That's why Babbel offers personalized learning paths. Choose the topic and learning level that is right for you.
Go to Babbel.com and use promo code NASTY for 40% off your first subscription.
Boom.
Let's go.
Let's go, Babsy.
A big thank you to D-Mac.
Oh, my
Darren
God.
Darren McCarty, 4-time Stanley Cup winner and amazing guy and amazing career and life path. Appreciate him hopping on. What an interesting dude, eh, Nas?
Man, I tell you what, you know, you don't feel bad for him because he is like overcome a lot, but you feel bad that he had to go through that. But where he is now is awesome, and it's just so good to see. And I love, he just wants to help people, man. He really does, and it's honest too. It's not a show. It's legit. And he's awesome, man. I was blown away by some of the things he said, but God, he makes me laugh. I could talk to that guy. I feel like I want to call him now every day just to get myself going, man. You know, like you're having a bad day. D-Mac, we're coming for you, bro. I want to talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he is full of energy, and he's clearly taken his passion from playing and grinding, and, you know, he's just taken a different facet of life, but just love his enthusiasm. Again, like you said, went through some rough patches like most of us do, but he was able to, you know, bounce back, and not just bounce back, but to thrive and to take this thing on another level. So he's using his 4 Stanley Cups and all the grinding he's done and into the real world here and making an impact. So it's always nice to see guys find success after they play, because I think that's a challenge for a lot of guys. It's not that easy, especially if you find your purpose in life. And it's really giving back and really taking selfless action. So, amazing to reconnect with D-Mac.
I'll tell you what, we didn't really get into it, but as we were talking to him the last few days, he's talking about that bus he's going to be getting.
Oh, I know.
Dude, we got to go get on that bus.
We like, gotta get
we
on that bus.
We have to go see him and get on that bus.
Yep.
And I want to see him at a wrestling event because this guy grabs a mic. He's like the
look out, dude.
He's up there with The Rock and the Nature Boy. I mean, those are the top two talkers, I think, of all time.
Right.
But just listening to him, you know he can get the crowd going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's, yeah, he's got that ability. He is he's full of passion and intensity. And, yeah, the wrestling world seems to fit right in his wheelhouse.
Oh, my God. It's so good for him.
So fitting.
But you know what's cool, man? And he had a great point about his medicine, the CBD stuff for injuries, which yep. I mean, many people have woken up and seen what this does and how much it helps. I mean, you've kind of led the way with that with a lot of people, but the fact that he's like, I want to help these guys because if they feel better when they wake up in the morning, you know,
yeah.
they're going to want to do more in the ring. They perform better. Yeah. You feel, I mean, that's for anyone, right? Athletes.
Anyone, yeah.
I mean, you can say they're not athletes. They're athletes, man. Those guys are athletes.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really cool because he's passionate about it and he really wants to help. He really wants to help.
So, he really does. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And every part of his body he does, you know, it's, he wakes up in the morning, you can tell he lives it and he's using his media company and all that good stuff to spread the word, you know, and he's getting a tour bus and playing music and comedy. He does a little bit of everything, but it's all for the better good. You know, he's smart. Yep. He understands marketing and what he has to do. So props to him for figuring it out and doing it with all that enthusiasm.
Yeah. It was awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah. Guest. So, awesome. Awesome talking to him.
Yep. So maybe we have to get him on again down the road, but definitely we aim to get on that tour bus once it's all up and running.
We have to, man.
Yeah,
I'll make the trip for sure.
No doubt. Well, thanks again, D-Mac. Appreciate you and what you're doing. That's a wrap. Episode 49 in the books. Until next week, check us out for episode 50.
See you, knuckleheads.
Stay well. Stay healthy. See you next week, knuckleheads.
Yes.